This is a CBC podcast. Connect online with book lovers from coast to coast to coast. Read reviews, chat with authors, download podcasts, and more. Just go to cbc.ca/books. CBC Books, where readers click.
Well, they're a wonderful sight at Cape St. Mary's, the largest breeding seabirds in the North Atlantic. The northern gannets make the cliffs their home there. So there was some concern following the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon in the Gulf of Mexico last year. Gannets from here make their way there for part of the year to feed. Bill Montevecchi is a professor and seabird researcher at Memorial University and a very popular guest on our show. A paper of his was published this morning in the online journal Biology Letters, and Bill joins me in the studio. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me again.
A rough traffic drive on the way in today?
Well, it is. We should talk about that sometime.
Let's talk about gannets.
Yes, okay.
Now, you've been tracking them from this province, and I read some of the highlights of your paper that were left for me. Using these high-tech tracking devices, what are you actually able to learn about what effect the oil spill has had on the gannets so far?
Yeah, Anthony, I'll tell you that. And I just want to say one thing, because you have the paper. It's really a team effort. There's a lot of people in my lab. And if you look at that paper, I think there's seven
there's
authors
a whole bunch
on
of names
it.
There, yeah.
People from Canadian Wildlife Service, somebody from Germany, you know, and then students who are working with me in the lab. So, you know, there's a crowd of us.
Okay.
So it's a team effort.
Not
and
just
we've
you.
Been learning a lot, Anthony, to answer your question. I think what shocked me, actually, the most that really kicked us into this is it was the news. Simply watching the news after the Deepwater Horizon, you know, and thinking that, you know, it's horrific, it's far away, and this image flashed up on the screen, and it was the first oil bird recovered in the Gulf of Mexico. It was a northern gannet, and it just was really shocking. You know, you're thinking about brown pelicans and laughing gulls and the birds that live there, and all of a sudden it popped up like here was this bird from Newfoundland or Quebec, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the long reach of the oil spill.
Well, the one thing that when I was reading the background in the research there that actually surprised me was the finding that I think when you tried to rank the birds that were first in terms of the percentage that were dunked in oil,
yeah,
at 63%, the northern gannet was ahead of all the other species. And maybe it's because we live in a television age, but had you asked me, I think I would have said it would be a pelican. But maybe that's because we saw so many pictures of pelicans.
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. But that was the shock, Anthony. So, you know, the most oiled bird, you know, in terms of body count, you know, it was laughing gulls that live in the Gulf of Mexico, brown pelicans that got a lot of press that live in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was gannet. And for some reason, which I don't know, they were the most oiled species. You know, of the percentage of recovered dead birds or recovered birds, 63% of the gannets were oiled. And this is very unusual because we've had oiled birds around our coast a lot, and it's not usually gannets. You know, they're not here in the winter, so we never see this.
What are your assumptions as to why they would rank number one?
Well, in terms of that oiling, I think that I know. I mean, we again, some of us were down there subsequently to do some surveys. There's a lot of gannets down there. I think that's what our tracking showed that we weren't sure of before. But I think that spill was just massive. And those birds, you know, they go where the fish are. They clearly, in their coastal distributions, are off the, you know, Mississippi Delta there. And I think it's just a massive nature of that spill that took out so many birds. And Anthony, there's one other thing too to point out with body counts. Those are always underestimates because the way you get those numbers it's people picking up dead birds on beaches
that wash up. Yeah.
So it depends on where the people are. And,
right.
and we saw so many gummed up birds, a little spot of oil will kill a bird. We saw so many gummed up birds, they just sink in the water, you know.
So they
never show up.
They're never in the count.
Yeah.
Not to mention the ones that die further off away from the coast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's right. So, but I didn't even answer your first question yet. You know, the technology. So, you know, the old stuff was bands, you know. So before, you know, like 5 years ago, if we were to estimate, you would say, well, what does that mean? Are there lots of birds down there? And the banding information, you know, you put a ring on a bird's leg and you find it when it's dead. Well, that's pretty biased information, too. It tends to be coastal. It tends to be where humans are. But all the information we had, and that would have suggested that less than 10% of our population was down there, and the tracking has suggested about a quarter of the population, you know, like 140,000 birds. And, you know, when we do surveys down there, they're all over the place.
Right. When you were actually down there, what did you actually see? What sort of stands out in your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, we saw some pretty horrific things. I don't want to off track from our tracking a bit, but, you know, I mean, I found dead fish. I mean, I was on very few surveys. Two people who work with me were on, Chantel Burke and Paul Regula. They were on extensive surveys. I was there to help set up the surveys. Mm-hmm. I did very few. I mean, I saw dead fish, belly up in the water that had suffocated,
for some major contamination.
We saw lots of gannets, yeah.
All right, so if I take you back to your tracking and following the gannets again, in your article you say that you've observed gannets at Cape St. Mary's that had dark soiled plumage?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And those are three independent observations, myself and Tony Power, who's the manager, Ian Jones, independently of me, and Tony Diamond, all research seabird biologists from University of New Brunswick. All have seen, this spring, birds that look like they had oiled plumage. And they would be survivors. I have to tell you, Anthony, they're on the stack at Cape St. Mary's, so we can't access them. We can't get to them. We don't know that it's oil. And if it was oil, it looks like oil, smells like oil. But we can't, we didn't do the chemistry, and we can't. And even if it was oil,
but you've been watching these birds for a long time, and all of a sudden you're seeing a black discoloration.
Yeah, it was just it's just the coincidence of it. Mm-hmm. And if it was oil, it doesn't even have to be deep water horizon oil.
True,
but yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see you apply some scientific rigor on it, and not jump to the conclusion that it is that oil. But I would have thought that if you see birds that actually have come into contact with oil, my sense is always that oil is a death sentence. But I guess.
Yeah, it's a death sentence. You don't have to have a bird covered in oil, just a little bit. It breaks their, birds don't get wet when they're in the water, so mm-hmm. it just breaks their seal.
So where do you think you're going to go next with these findings and with your research?
Well, actually, this is really exciting. I have to tell you, why it's so exciting is, there are 7,000 oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico. There's no systematic surveys of vessels down there.
7,000?
It's shocking. It doesn't parallel, the industrial effort. We can't, I talk about this all the time. We can't get observers on platforms. Well, I can tell you, in my lab, we track MERS out to the offshore platforms here. Mm-hmm. We know they're out there. We know they're out there from workers on the rigs. So this tracking allows us to do a risk assessment, and it's not just us, Anthony, it's people in Quebec, in fact, the world's oceans, people are now tracking birds, and we know places that they go where we could never access them, because, it's mid-Atlantic. So we're looking where they overlap with oil, with fishing, hunting, climate change, to try and risk assess the problems in the ocean that are problems for birds in our clearly problems for us as well.
All right. Well, Bill, good to have you back. Glad you made it despite the traffic problems. And
yes, Anthony and Cease, but yes, thanks so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to that you would ask me to come back. And thanks so much.
No, our pleasure. And people always love hearing you. And everyone's got a sort of soft spot for gannets, whether they live here in Newfoundland, Labrador or Gaspé. It's, they're remarkable birds.
Yeah,
good to see
so
you again.
Much, Anthony. All the best.
That's Bill Montevecchi, professor and seabird researcher at MUN.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.